Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Issues 2025. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Keith Lawing, President, CEO, Workforce Alliance of South Central Kansas. Welcome to Issues 2025.
Well, thank you, Steve. Happy to be here.
Give us the basics. What is the Workforce Alliance of South Central Kansas?
All right. Well, we are the local workforce development board, which serves this region. And what that really means is that we're the entity that helps administer the federal job training funds that come into the region. And federal government has been in this business for quite a while, supporting these efforts. I've been with the Workforce Alliance since 2005, and there's been form of this going on here in our area since the 1970s.
So what did you do before that, though?
Actually, I was at Wichita State University. I worked in the Hugo Wall School, Center for Urban Studies, which they now call the Public Policy Management Center. So I was a bit of a local government consultant and an analyst and researcher.
Does the Alliance, does it have a mission statement?
Yeah, our mission is growing the regional economy through a skilled workforce. And what our primary purpose is, Steve, is that we're really here to eliminate barriers that individuals have to quality employment, and we're also to work with employers to help them find the talent they need to grow their businesses. And when we say eliminate barriers, and the basic barrier is a skills gap. I mean, right now in our region, the industries that dominate are aviation and healthcare, and you need to have some specific skill, credential, certificate to get into those fields, and we help people achieve that and help those businesses and find that kind of talent.
Now, are you a federal agency?
We're a local not-for-profit. We manage federal dollars. That's not all that we do. Our budget has more than just that, what we call the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. That's the primary funding stream that comes from the federal government. But we have a very diversified portfolio around employment and skills training. We have some local funders. United Way funds part of our youth employment project. We have several grants that we work into. We leverage it all together, so it really sings together as a chorus, helps to align our services and leverage resources so we create significant community impact.
How long did you say you've been president? Since when? How long have you been the president?
2005, actually. I apologize. 2005. So now it's my 20-year anniversary. I can't believe it's been 20 years. Time flies when you're
having
fun.
It sure does.
That is right. That is right.
And you told me what you did before that. You're about four questions ahead of me. You're just answering all the questions. We can go home now. Well, I know part of what you do is keeping some pretty close tabs on employment rates and trends. And I'd like to ask a couple of questions about that. Kind of a numbers question. But how are those rates looking for South Central Kansas right now? I'm talking about the jobless rate, the unemployment rate. How are we doing in South Central Kansas?
It's been ticking up lately, and that part of that is not a bad thing, because what we were seeing, we were seeing a lot of people sitting on the sidelines and not engaged in the labor market. So when you look at those, when the federal government comes out with their jobs reports or the state comes out and that unemployment rate, that's just the people actively looking for jobs. And we know there's more people out there. So we did see a lot of people leaving the workforce during COVID, getting into the gig economy or having to take care of family members, or childcare was a big issue, especially for females. So the fact that our unemployment rate is going up a little bit is a bit of a good sign that we'll have more labor force participation. So the other trend that I noticed is, typically speaking, Sedgwick County runs a little higher than the state average. We had not been for a while. Actually, the state had a higher overall unemployment rate than Sedgwick County had. That's now flipped. Last time I looked, Sedgwick County was about a half percentage point higher than the state average, which is what we normally run. So overall, I would say our job market is strong. It's been consistent. There are certainly a little bit of some disruption going on, that is for sure, and we'll see how that impacts us.
Yeah, when you talk about, what if the rate's been, what, below 4%?
Yeah,
quite a while.
And again, that is because the economy was going strong. You had big companies like Spirit AeroSystems, you know, which was hiring in droves. Textron was hiring. The aviation industry overall had been hiring lately, and then healthcare certainly is in a big need of workers. So again, our two dominant industries in terms of employment have been hiring here in the region for the last few years, and that trend, we'll see what that trend, how that trend continues.
What's full employment?
Is it 3%? Oh, full employment. I mean, again,
and is that just something we made up?
Yeah, you're never going to get everybody working, and you don't really want necessarily in terms of how you run an economy. That you need some slack. You need some people out there that you can recruit that are between jobs. That always kind of happens. But typically, full employment, according to labor economists, is right about that 4%. So they would say we're about at full employment.
So have we ever been around down below 3% in the twos?
Close. You look at monthly, there might have been a month that's dipped below that, but we've not seen a full year of unemployment at that rate.
That would be alarming.
It almost would be. And Steve, what I think it would really be, what would concern me about that is, how many people are we not measuring? I mean, how many people are just not working or sitting on the sidelines or doing the gig economy, you know? And again, for me, you know, like I said, I've been doing this job 20 years, and, you know, used to be people would, you know, they would, you know, take a part-time job painting or something like that, you know, or a seasonal job. That was kind of the gig economy. Now we have a pretty established gig economy with, you know, things like food delivery services and, you know, what people can do, you know, quick jobs online. And so right now, when it comes to labor force participation, it's really hard to measure some of that because people are working and making money, but they're not doing it in the way that we typically measure.
The traditional way.
Yeah, the traditional way.
Talking about two grandsons I have who have full-time jobs. And they're out doing that DoorDash.
Oh, yeah.
In their spare time.
Oh.
And listen, I'm thinking about maybe when I retire, I'll do that.
Hey, I got a grandson who's a senior in college, and I've been telling him for 3 years, you need to have a job while you're in college. He says, Grandpa, I do. I deliver for Uber Eats. And I'm like, that's not a real job. You know, to me, and again, I know he's making money, but when I think of it, you know, it is a job is where you have some responsibilities and expectation. You show up on time. You have an assignment. You get a paycheck. That there's just different opportunities now. And as the old guy, I got to kind of wake up and realize that's the reality. It's not like it used to be, but I think long-term resiliency doesn't quite build that up. It gives you, you know, it's good to have on a side, but you should not be depending on that. And I worry that too many people are depending on that kind of thing. And the risk is we don't have enough people in the workforce to help our businesses grow.
And you're talking about a young person doing that. You got to think about more than that. You got to think about the 401ks. You got to think about health insurance. It all goes in.
Exactly
there.
Right. Exactly right. You know, and the fact that.
So what you're saying is we're a couple of old guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Hey, listen. And I waited tables. You know, growing up. And if I need to, I will. If I have to, I'll go back and wait tables again. You know, I mean, that's a skill set that I have, and I earned it and used it in many ways in my professional life, but. Yeah, there's always things to fall back on.
I've mopped floors and cleaned some restrooms, public restrooms, and that's some pretty fun stuff to do.
Listen, there's dignity in work, you know, and that's one of the things.
And I wonder if we've lost that. in this country. Some people, that certain percentage, yeah.
Yeah.
The go-getters. But there's some people who say, yeah, work. That's awful. Don't do that.
And my mentality was, whatever I do, I'm trying to do the best I can. You know, I mean, that's true. And I take it seriously. Mm.
So what jobs are in demand right now in our area? But what are employers looking for?
Well, I've mentioned healthcare, and that is real significant. We saw a mass exodus during COVID, you know, and that's well documented why some of those reasons were. There's also a retirement cliff that is happening in the industry and all industries, but in healthcare in particular. So I think a lot of folks that were close to retirement or maybe were thinking about it went ahead and took that. You know, where the markets are now, I'm not sure how they're feeling about that, if they're starting to live off that retirement fund. But we did. We had a lot of people leave the workforce, and there was not enough people to follow. And the demands in the healthcare industry continue to increase. You know, we talk about the couple of old guys. You know, there's a lot of us old guys and gals out there who are starting to need more healthcare services.
Yeah.
So Ascension Via Christi, Wesley, HCA Wesley, they have lots of openings, and it's just not for the nurses. Certainly we need nurses, but we need surge techs. We need respiratory therapists. You know, we need those specialties. And this is really from a personal experience, I can tell you. I've had a couple family members in the hospital. And one of the reasons that we were not able to get out of the hospital, you know, when they were ready to go is that they did not have enough staff to go through all of the actual paper. I mean, it just takes more time, yeah. You know. And so healthcare, I don't want to go too much into healthcare, but there's a lot of openings there. We're seeing still a strong pull in manufacturing. You know, the businesses we have here locally are still needing talent. So that is happening. And we construction, now that we're getting certainly into the seasonal work, you're going to see industries like construction, landscaping, some of the trades are going to start. And we've seen that happen. So they're going to be increasing their needs for job openings.
New medical school under construction in downtown Wichita. What impact is it going to have on local employment?
It's going to have a big impact. You know, I do think it will help our local healthcare providers in terms of generating talent, having a skill set that they can recruit from. We're not going to see that benefit for a couple of years, obviously, but that is going to really, I think, drive the economy and create some spinoff. You know, you're going to create smaller clinics. You're going to create some doctor's offices. You're going to, you know, that kind of need. How do you deliver the health care? Because people are going to travel here to Wichita. I mean, and they have for a long time. We have been a place that people, you know, because we're a big regional system, you know, and so you're going to have folks from northern Oklahoma, western Kansas, you know, eastern Kansas, you know, come here for healthcare services. So that's going to help grow the economy, and you're going to see some ancillary businesses grow as a result of some of that activity downtown.
You're listening to Issues 2025 on the Odyssey radio stations. And our guest is Keith Lawing, President, CEO, Workforce Alliance of South Central Kansas. Are the local aircraft companies hiring now? I mean, we had a report this week that Boeing has, in the first quarter, delivered a lot more airplanes than it had before. Looks like things might be turning up there.
Yeah, well, and so that's a really interesting dynamic right now because we know that there's the acquisition is happening, and we know that Boeing is going to take over a lot of the work that Spirit's been doing. I have not yet had active conversations with Boeing about their talent needs or skills needs. I have a pretty good idea of what they're going to be looking for, and I'm confident we'll be able to work with them very closely. Spirit is a bit of a slowdown now because, again, I think with that transition. So we haven't seen as much activity as a result of that, but I know Textron Aviation is still going strong. Cox Machine is one of our, you know, the supply chain here. You got some of those supply companies that are really moving. And we're going to have a, you know, Bell Textron is moving to town, and that's going to be a company that I think we're going to see significant demand emerge, and we're starting to have some conversations with that company about how we can start helping them hire people.
What are you seeing in the retail sector?
Retail, you know, it's, again, some of that is seasonal a lot, and it's maintained some resiliency. Those But there, that's where a lot of the disruption is right now, because, you know, we had when Shields moved in a couple years ago, that was huge. I mean, that's a significant employer doing great business. I'm not here to give them an ad, but, you know, again, the parking lot's full out there all the time, you know. But again, Amazon continues to eke in to local retailers. And I think it's been well documented, you know, when you look at the economy overall, that consumer spending has really helped drive the national economy, you know, and the local economy as well. That's where we're going to see a lot of disruptions, continue to see a lot of disruption, I think, immediately with some of the economic conditions. So I anticipate we'll see a slowdown in hiring in the retail sector. But that industry, I think, will continue to have some needs. It's just changing significantly.
Describe the job market for students and part-timers.
You know,
I'm a part-timer, I'm a student, I want to go part-time. Is there anything there?
Well, you know, we go back to the gig economy then. I mean, you know, and again, these kids, young people these days, and, you know, they're attached to social media and what's going online. And so I think they see some opportunities that maybe I don't. See, to be honest with you. But overall, you know, we're working very hard right now on summer youth employment, and we are working with a lot of businesses that are really wanting teenagers to come apply for jobs with them. They want young people to get into their space and help them grow their businesses. So we'll be doing, we work a lot with some of the, you know, our retail food places, Lane Enterprises, which runs a lot of McDonald's, Freddy's. They want teenagers to come work. They want young people to come work. So if a young high school kid, a college kid needs a part-time job, they are out there.
You use the term gig economy. What exactly does that mean?
To me, it's not the formal paycheck. You know, it's kind of working a day and getting paid at the end of the day.
Going back to musicians.
Yeah.
It's a gig.
It's a gig.
I'm playing the club tonight. That's a gig.
Right. And it's something that you can kind of do on your own. Like we mentioned this whole thing with Uber Eats. You know, basically, if you kind of check your phone and you can make a couple deliveries in the evening and you get paid, you know, Lyft drivers or Uber drivers overall. I mean, you know, I talk to a lot of people and they do that either part-time or when their schedule allows them to do because they have other activities, whether that's actual serious activities or just leisure activities, and they work their income portion of it around that. And, you know, and I think the gig economy still is somebody who is willing to take a job that's temporary and part-time, and as soon as they get that job over, they're done and they're gone. And again, I think seasonal work, you're going to see some landscaping opportunities, you're going to see some construction opportunities. So it's not only the technology-driven gig economy, it's the traditional gig economy that's still out there as well. And again, that might be where you get paid by that, you know, again, I don't know what's going on, but sometimes you just get paid cash under the table for a day's worth of work. And we know that's happening. We know that goes on in the economy.
We might as well jump in here and do it now and talk about the T word, tariffs. What, if anything, all this turmoil with tariffs, other than the fact we could go into recession, how does that impact the job market here locally?
And that's some of the disruption I was talking about, because it's so hard to figure out, you know, because our industries here, and I haven't mentioned ag yet, but we have a huge export market in the state of Kansas. We sell stuff, whether it's airplanes, airplane parts, agriculture, food. So I don't know how that's going to impact the state economy and some of those individual businesses. I've heard, again, some antidotes. Some manufacturers have had some deals with Canadian, you know, companies that may or may not go through because of the tariffs or going to increase the cost of tariffs. If it does create large disruption in the aviation industry, then we could start seeing some layoffs at the production level. But right now, the demand maintains is high across the three primaries in terms of general aviation, commercial aviation, and the defense industry. But that's, you know, and a lot of times, Steve, sometimes if they, like, for example, when the big meltdown happened in 2008, it took about a year for that to hit us the way it hit other areas.
Yeah.
And we may be in a similar situation. If you may see some more economic disruption, on the coast, so to speak, and our industries may be limited the impact initially, but I think it'll get to us eventually if there's a major downturn. And that worries me a lot.
We talk about the workplace and how it's changed, okay? We're sitting in a studio now, and if you look through those windows over there, there are two more studios over there. If you look down here, there are three more studios down there, empty.
Yep.
And our industry, we've just been hammered. I mean, in the radio industry, jobs have disappeared by the thousands. And we just have to adjust.
We do.
Technology has taken over.
And I mentioned this disruption thing. And one of the things that we've been trying to understand at the Workforce Alliance is the impact of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Good call.
Go ahead.
We have a task force. I put this together over a year ago with our staff and looking at it. Because there's so many different ways it can impact. How does it impact how we do our jobs? Is AI going to come take our jobs? Can AI be a radio announcer? Can AI, generate, become a HR specialist and review resumes,
An insurance adjuster.
Exactly right.
I just thought of that one. Yeah.
So we always know that because of technology and the disruption in the workplace that does kill jobs, but it also creates jobs. And that's really what we're focused on now is that how do we identify how artificial intelligence, the new technology, is going to create the jobs? And what are those jobs that are going to be created? What are the skill sets needed for those jobs? How do we get people to transition into those opportunities? But I don't have the answers. And I can tell you in our business, it's really changed our dynamic. The technology side of it, because we designed our facilities to allow folks to come in to have computer access, to get on, to do resumes.
Yeah.
You can do that on your phone now. You don't even need a computer. You can do it on your phone.
Right.
I wouldn't advise that to people. It's not the best way to go about a job search or to communicate, about employment opportunities. But we've had to adjust the way our foot traffic is, how people are using our services because of the technology disruption. So it's going to continue to impact us. I am hopeful overall. A few years ago, I was really concerned about autonomous vehicles. Because we do a lot. There's a huge demand for commercial truck drivers, CDLs. We're moving product, consumers, businesses, manufacturers, our construction trades needs people with CDLs. And that demand is maintained strong. And autonomous vehicles, that's going to have an impact, but it's not going to destroy the need for commercial truck driving. So now it's robotics, it's manufacturing. Oh, my God, we're not going to need production work. We're not going to need machinists. No, we're going to continue to need them. It's just going to be – they have to do different features, different formats, So the robotics side of it is not going to kill manufacturing employment. It's going to enhance manufacturing employment with a different skill set. I'm not sure how to define the impact of AI yet. That's what we're trying to do.
Biggest challenge, if we're getting close to out of time, what would be the biggest challenge right now in the workplace – locally,
it's having enough skilled workers to fill the open jobs. Now Wichita is a mid-sized metro. We don't have a huge population growth, so we don't necessarily have a lot of human resources in here. And the folks that we do have here, we have to make sure they have the credentials and the skills to get the jobs needed. So it's one thing to be willing to work, to want a job. It's another thing to have the skills that employers require. So we need to make sure that folks have access to the kind of job training programs they need. They have the ability to earn those degrees and certificates. I think what we've done here, I'm really impressed overall about the infrastructure that's been put together through the leadership of people at Wichita State University, John Bardot, what he did in the Applied Learning Model, the Innovation Campus, Dr. Utash at WSU Tech, Kelly Bielefeld and others at 259 and other school districts. So we have, I think, a great infrastructure here to produce workers. It's just a matter of making that all hum together and generate the kind of impact we'd like to see.
You mentioned a term a while ago that, I might be close to it, and that's the retirement cliff. Does that mean I'm going to go over go over a cliff?
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think I'm going to have to go back and do something working for the rest of my life? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, you know, seriously, I look at my 401k and it's not as healthy as I would like it to be.
Oh, no, I understand.
You know, so, but I think for the most part, too, I mean, that's another dynamic in the workplace is that we're healthier than we used to be. I mean, we're more resilient. And so I think the choice is yours, Steve. If you want to work and you're healthy and you want to do it, then there is an opportunity out there. We have a senior employment program, and we see lots of folks in the 55 and 60s who are looking for employment these days.
Yeah, but my problem is I'm lazy. Hey, thanks for being with us, Keith. We'll do this again sometime soon.
Hey, my pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
Our guest is Keith Long, President, CEO, Workforce Alliance of South Central Kansas. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2025. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.